Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the fireside room, the speaker is Mary Scott Boria, speaking on history not repeating itself, examining and changing values. So let's listen in on Mary.
I'm going to read a passage here, and then I'm going to ask you, going to break you up, and I'm going to ask about six or seven of you to form a group, and the rest of us are going to sort of watch this exercise. So we'll see if it works. What I'm reading is called The Space Traders, and it's taken from a book entitled Faces at the Bottom of the Well, The Permanence of Racism by Derrick Bell. It's only a page. It's only a page and a half long, so. January 1st. The first surprise was not their arrival. The radio messages had begun weeks before, announcing that 1,000 ships from a star far out in space would land on 1 January 2000 in harbors along the Atlantic coast from Cape Cod to North Carolina. Well before dawn on that day, millions of people across North America had awakened early to witness the moment the ships entered Earth's atmosphere. However expected to the watchers, children of the electronic age, the spaceship's approach was as awesome as had been that earlier one of the three small ships, one October over 500 years ago, before to the Indians of the island of Santo Domingo in the Caribbean. No, the first surprise was the ships themselves. The people who lined the beaches of New Jersey where the first ships were scheduled to arrive saw nothing, not anything NASA might have dreamed of, but huge vessels the size of aircraft carriers, which the old men in the crowd recognized as being pretty much like the box-shaped landing craft that carried Allied troops to the Normandy beachheads during the Second World War. As the sun rose on that cold, bright morning, the people on the shore, including an anxious delegation of government officials and media reporters, witnessed a fantastic display of eerie lights and strange sound, evidently the visitors' salute to their American host. Almost unnoticed during the spectacle, the bow of the leading ship slowly lowered. A sizable party of visitors, the first beings from outer space anyone on Earth had seen, emerged and began moving majestically across the water toward shore. The shock of seeing these beings, regal in appearance and bearing, literally walking on the waves, was more thrilling than frightening. At least no one panicked. Then came the second surprise. The leaders of this vast armada could speak English. Moreover, they spoke in familiar, comforting tones of former President Reagan, having dubbed his recorded voice into a computerized language translation system. After the initial greetings, the leader of the U.S. delegation opened his mouth to read his welcoming speech, only the first of several speeches scheduled to be given on this historic occasion by the leaders of both political parties and other eminent citizens, including, of course, stars of the entertainment and sports worlds. But before he could begin, the principal spokesperson for the space people, and it wasn't possible to know whether it was man or woman or something else entirely, raised a hand and spoke crisply and to the point. And this point constituted the third surprise. Those mammoth vessels carried within their holds treasures of which the United States was in most desperate need. Gold to bail out the almost bankrupt federal, state, and local governments, special chemicals capable of unpolluting the environment, which was becoming daily more toxic, and restoring it to the pristine state it had been before Western explorers set foot on it, and a totally safe nuclear energy and fuel to relieve the nation's all but depleted supply of fossil fuel. In return, the visitors wanted only one thing, and that was to take back to their home star all the African Americans who lived in the United States. And then the space traders said they would wait 16 days for a response to their offer. That is, on 17 January, the day when in that year the birthday of Martin Luther King was to be observed, they would depart, carrying with them every black man, woman, and child in the nation, and leave behind untold treasure. Okay, I'll stop there. All right. So this is a projection of the future, and it's an interesting projection of the future, though I'm not sure that any of us believe that it'll happen. I'm not sure any of us believe that it wouldn't happen, because throughout history there have been times when there have been sort of high-level strategies to figure out how to send African Americans back to Africa or to separate them in the United States or whatever. So it's not as far-fetched of an idea as sort of what's portrayed in this book. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have seven of you sort of gather around in a circle. And this first group, if we have time, we're going to do this in three groups. The first group will be the president's cabinet. So can I get seven volunteers? Come on. One. Come on. Okay. Okay. One, two, three, four. Okay, three more. Four. Okay, a couple more. I got you already. Three, four, five, six. Okay, one more. All right. Why don't I have you come up and we'll grab one more person. Don't worry. This won't be as. It's not as hard on you as it is on me. So.
How do you want to do this, Mark?
I'm going to have you maybe get in a circle, and I'd like the rest of you to sort of be observers and to kind of listen to the discussion. I'm going to sort of paint a scenario if I can. We need another woman up here. Yeah, come on, one of you women. Come on. One more person. Okay, I'm gonna go around and maybe give each one of you a role, okay? And
we don't get to choose a role.
No, I think I'll give you one, okay? I will give you the role of the vice president, okay? You the head of the Treasury Department. You the head of Interior. Oh, it just happens you're the head of Health and Human Services. Oh, she's a female in the year 2000.
I tell you, that's the truth.
Okay. I will give you the role of the Attorney General, and I will give you the role of the head of the Defense Department. Now, I need someone who will play a black conservative. Come on.
Black conservative.
Some daring, I need some daring actors or actresses. Play the role of a black conservative. Come on. That's a key role, so I need someone.
Come on.
Oh, no? Okay, I'll do it, since I'm black. Okay, now let me just say a little bit about the scenario that we want to set up. This is the year 2000. It's right before the elections in the year 2000. This is the second term of the current, would be the second term of the current administration. It's a rather conservative administration. You know, after this election, we'll probably have another Republican elected president. Probably not such a long shot. So in the year 2000, we'll probably have a pretty conservative administration. The country is really close to being like a third world. We have depleted our resources. We are not respected at all in the world. There's crime rampant in the cities, and we're all sort of suffering economically. So we really need a shot of prosperity in America, more than anything. Our humanity has already gone down the tube, so we need a shot of humanity. And what I'd like for this group to do is to kind of talk about what do you think the arguments would be. We're gonna take a vote at the end of this, whether America votes to send its African Americans off with these space traders, and what we think that vote would be, and where we think the arguments would be for or against sending African Americans once and for all out of here. Now, we don't know if the space traders are going to take this group of people somewhere where it's wonderful or where it's horrible. We just know that they're here and they're going to sort of take take them off our hands once and for all, so we have an opportunity to kind of talk about. So let's start out with the vice president. And, you know, the vice president, you know, they're always sort of president in waiting. You know, so they always, and now remember, this is right before the election, so we want to sort of appeal to what we think the sentiment is, and this is a conservative administration, so.
Can I play this as Jerry Brown as vice president?
I'm not sure I know what Jerry Brown is these days.
What happened to the president?
Now, you don't have, what I don't want you to do is to talk about what you would do. I want you to talk about what you think your role would be, how your role would play this out, not how you would play this out, okay?
Well, what happened to the president? President.
Well, the president is here, but the president is just sort of, you know, the vice president is really kind of a, I wrote this down, we're kind of in a religious place, so I'll just say he's kind of, I can't say vice president. So he won't sort of mimic what the president thinks, okay?
So I played with Dan Quayle.
Exactly, you got it, okay.
Well, we have a problem. And we have a possible solution. And we're here today to discuss what do you think we should do with the proposal that's been presented to us as a possible way of eliminating our extreme crisis of every proportion in this country. And I'd like to open it up to the cabinet.
Well, it seems to me that it's very obvious that we need to send them. So what we need to do is make them want to go. So why don't we figure out some campaign or strategy so that they want to go, and then our problem's resolved.
Are we all agreed that they need to go?
Oh, we'd win the election hand down next month if they go. We'd have our environment safe. We'd have.
But the reality of it is, none of us will be on. Probably have a part in the incoming administration, and the president is gone. We're pretty much gone. So we really don't have much to gain.
But well, one of the downsides is that I would lose half my military force because most of them are black. So we'd be sending up half my force. But that's on the downside. The upside would be that we can't really beat these guys because we have these powerful ships that we can't fight. So I don't think we have much choice, but the attack of military would be going.
Boing, let me just insect here. If the United States decides not to send its African Americans, the space traders will leave. Pleasantly and peacefully.
Oh, okay. So. Well, it changes my view. Well, then I oppose
you
it.
Wanna,
I would lose half my force. Yeah. And we all know the military is
more important. But we're really unable to support it the way it is anyhow. I mean, you know.
Who says that?
Our economy. We cannot support
the military. You're going down the tubes anyway.
I'm not sure.
Well, we don't have, we're nearly a third world country. You're up to take us all over.
But I think the military is needed.
Militaries do that in third worlds. They take over the elected government and put themselves at place.
But that stability is what they've been also. And seeing this country needs a lot of stability, I think the future will need even more. So I think I need all my people.
We definitely need that money. I don't know if there's any chance of negotiation with these people, but we've been in trouble for such a long time that any source of economic recovery would be something that we should think about.
Well, it appears to me that there's not much negotiation possible, and they pretty much have presented what they want and what they'll give. So I think we have to decide on what they have said they would do without much of a negotiation. You probably have more contact with
yes, I think
the exiting population.
Yes, as the Director of Health and Human Services, we talk a lot about self-determination and people deciding what the course that their life is going to take and not having some institution come in and say, you are going to do this. But I'm listening to you saying this thing about making them want to go, but I'm not quite sure if it's making them want to go or whether they should just decide without any interference from the government whether this is something that they would like to do. Or
we have to get all of them, though. And I think you can do it through television.
MTV, perhaps.
Well, why don't we go to Africa and get all they wanted right there instead of messing around with us?
Yeah, what have I thought of that?
I mean, maybe there's something we can negotiate for.
Send the African nations?
Sure, if they want blacks, there are a lot of blacks there. They can just...
We could send a delegation over there.
Yeah, maybe we can get such negotiation going pretty good.
Pretty hard to believe that Mandela would...
I'm not saying South Africa, necessarily, just West Africa.
But Somalia and Rwanda, they love to go. Couldn't get any worse. Let's send a delegation.
I mean, the interior department is aware of the significant problems we have in this country. Despoiled half the natural part of the country. We've got to do something about it.
Are we agreed that they have no value to us?
Well, I don't agree.
We have one person who doesn't. Yeah. Well, does anybody else see any value?
I think that what the spaceship is bringing us has more value.
They'd really be looked up to if they went.
Our
because
politics.
They're sacrificing. You
know? We have a shot at another 4 years.
Our president wouldn't have a shot at that. This is his last term. So he's not really interested in it.
What's his last term?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. But we wouldn't. So I see what you're saying. But somebody in the cabinet may have a shot at the presidency.
Oh, you could. We could back
what?
You. We could back you.
Huh.
And then we have 8 years of bliss.
But one question people would have you that, who else would you give up besides, I mean, if you give up these black people, who else would you give up? Yeah, I know, but if somebody...
This trip.
Ruin
up in 100 years, I can come back and get the juice.
Well, I'm maybe rethinking this a little bit, given the information I just received.
I could mount a powerful campaign.
Which would be you good. I guess I kind of need to look at what would be the worst case scenario if we didn't do this. I mean,
if you didn't do it?
If we did not do this.
Oh,
I think we pretty well concluded what's going to happen if we do do it, if we do send them, or allow them to be taken.
And what's that?
That the economy will recover, the world will no longer be, our country will no longer be polluted.
For one whole century, two.
And from a health standpoint, you'd be depleting the population by a pretty large percentage, so health problems would decrease by that percentage as well. So.
If my brother-in-law is a garbologist for the United States,
But you might be risking a coup, too, because half my force is black, and when you hear that you're going to send them off, they just may try to take over the government.
I never thought of that either.
But there isn't an active military, so you don't really have a force.
They aren't funded.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Clinton just closed down all the bases, so...
Well, here's a conservative black. Yeah, you know what? What do you think?
Well, I've always supported the administration's policies. You know, I've helped this administration, you know, get rid of affirmative action, and I don't believe in it. I think we should all, get ahead by pulling ourselves up from our bootstraps. So I, helped to get rid of that, but I'm black and I will be gotten rid of as well. So what position do you think I should take? I'm not sure that I can support the administration's position to
I think it's a tremendous opportunity for you to take a leadership role in leading and gathering the forces together to make your folks want to go.
And what they haven't listened to me up to this point. What if they don't listen to me now? What do I have that would?
I could do a media campaign for you. Moses. Leading your people to the promised land. Oh, that's beautiful. The leadership that's been wandering for 40 years and 40 years. Yeah. New leadership arrives, too.
Are we not valuable to America anymore? I mean, I'm hearing that we have no value, that black Americans have no value. How do I sell that to black Americans? Tell me, how do I sell that?
I have an idea. We could do something with bricks and straw with your people.
Explain it.
We can make it really hard on you for a couple of days.
Oh.
And make it obvious to you that you're not wanted here, and set you up as a hero in this, as it's been said, as Moses, by the president.
My people aren't stupid. No. They're not stupid. You don't think they see through that?
You have to understand the source of that. It's our administration. That's the way we do things.
But, we'd be breaking a lot of laws, too, our own laws, which are guaranteeing freedom. Which we'd be just electing these people just because of their color. How would we justify that?
Well, because they'd want to go. And if part of our campaign...
He's one of them.
They want to go. And then we got the rest of them kind of through the back door with this anti-stay here campaign. Look at them. And this is a wonderful opportunity for Moses right here.
But what about the moral character of America? Do you think the American public would support this? How do you think they would psychologically deal with this if all the African Americans were just shipped on a boat, given America's history?
I think it could help raise the level of the black people's esteem, and they have given the rest of the world a second chance.
I'll go.
This is an opportunity for black people.
You're
to kind go
of scary.
And save the rest of the world. I know there's a positive media thing here. I'll get my people, my staff, and we'll come up with it. This is an opportunity in a lifetime to raise black people up to being worshipped by the rest of the people on earth.
And what is it in it for them? Or what do you draw on in America's history that would make black people want to do this for America?
Yeah.
It's sounds like a window of opportunity.
Well, I mean, they have been we have been patriotic, you know. We've served freely in the armed forces when you can take us.
That's true. We're taking it out.
I don't know. You, Health and Human Services Secretary, I mean, don't you think this would have some psychological effect on the psychology of white America? Won't they miss us?
I think so. How would we enforce our laws if we just break these laws? I mean, why would people necessarily follow the government if we broke these laws?
You're conservative. You can change the laws whenever you want.
Yeah, you were.
We can change the laws, but we don't have anybody following us.
I think it would be detrimental.
Well, we're expecting blacks to follow us.
I think it would be detrimental to the psychology of the psychological well-being of the rest of the nation, because what are these other, all the different groups, what are they going to think? What are American Indian people going to think? What are Asian groups going to think? What, we're next? I think that from a human services standpoint, that for those in the black population, for those not of the black population that wouldn't support it, I don't think you could ever justify it to them.
The rest of us, we're going to be so busy rebuilding this country with the new source of energy that we have, the new money that we have, and the resorts and the recreational stuff that can go on.
But if all that is so important, if restoring the environment and getting the economy going again is so important, then why haven't we done it already without having these wonderful resources appear from nowhere? I mean, it seems like we don't really know what our priorities are.
What we seem to be doing is trading people for things.
Remember, this is a conservative
administration. Yeah, I know.
We don't talk about
like trading things.
Well, I think we need to decide how we can get what we want. If we decide what we want, how we can get what we want to cover our butts.
Okay, so we're going to trade these people for things that are up to the country.
Can we agree on that?
How do we decide? How do we decide which ones go?
All.
They all have to go.
So when are you black?
Yeah, that's something I haven't quite put.
If it's on your birth certificate, you're black. That's how the space traders will decide. Mm-hmm. If on your birth certificate it says.
So they will decide who they want.
Black or African American, that's who will go.
But you know, actually, my cleaning lady, I've had her 25 years. She's good.
But you'll have resources. You can hire. Cleaning ladies. Okay. Not taking the Hispanics. You can get a Hispanic.
Oh, you know any?
Oh. As a matter of fact, my cleaning lady is. Well, let's stop this scenario and we'll move into the next one. But I wonder if there are any kind of comments from the group. This was a tough. This group was hard. They didn't want to, except for you. Not very conservative. This group is projecting a lot of their own, I think, values into the scenario.
I don't think like a conservative.
Yeah.
And not a sort of real right-wing sort of America first, sort of at all expense.
You know, I was waiting for somebody to say, like, I was almost going to volunteer for your part, and I wanted to say, you know, well, we've been friends for, you know, what about some of your friends? Like, it was talking about black people in terms of utility the whole time, you know, and you know, like, what do we do with them? And I guess I was waiting for the other edge to enter in, you know. About friendship, about human about love, you know, between black and white, you know.
But the rules were kind of that wasn't to enter into it.
And that's, I mean, it, you know, we may be stereotyping these sort of political ideologies, but certainly there was less of a...
Oh, so you wanted that out,
Anybody else?
A little bit too believable, some of the blatant comments. You almost could realize that you might hear that. And a quick decision you make, that's perfect. This is the thing we've been waiting for, you know?
And I think the let's figure out how to get them to want to go. Mm-hmm. It's probably probably something that wouldn't be too off base. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to want to go freely, obviously. Yeah. So let's figure out how to, let's use the black conservative as the person to sort of pitch our line.
And that we can come up with a media campaign to do
it. Well, the arguments for this were somewhat compelling, though I think this was probably not a real conservative crowd of people, but if you kind of project this, one of the things that brought up, that one of the arguments brought up in the book is let's figure out how to have them, let's figure out how to change the selective service law so we can draft them all. And then we can send them all off because they're all drafted. You had them all in the Army anyway. But then I think your role where, you know, we could deal with, you know, our healthcare costs, our public welfare costs have been soaring because of the burden that America pays for African Americans. And we could do away with that debt if we just got rid of the African Americans. But then on the other hand, you know, America is built on sort of this duality, and how would we be able psychologically, those of us left, be able to deal with it? We might have a century of psychological chaos that leads us into civil war. I mean, in some ways, that certainly was a lot of the psychology underneath the civil war, that we just couldn't come to terms with the race question, though there were other economic reasons, certainly was the psychology behind the civil war. That we just could no longer tolerate, we just could no longer deal with in our moral soul holding people in slavery. So that's sort of that other argument, and I think health and human service people are always pretty much on the other side. Okay, now, any other comments about this group? I want to bring a liberal group.
One interesting thing, though, was a comment about how easy it would be to change the public mood toward blacks. I mean, to spread disinformation or make blacks a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. In almost like an instantaneous sense, we just turn that around and just say, these are the people that are causing all the problems. And so that infers that the base of the whole population is really racist underneath. And it's just beneath the skin, per se. I mean, that we're willing to almost on the instant to blame somebody or some group.
Mm-hmm. It's something we didn't bring up. You read that the two great motivators are fear and greed. And we didn't bring up the potential for developing fear in the populace. We kind of dropped the ball on that as a media person.
But you were good.
Part of my strategy.
Yeah. We'd have to have a solid dose of fear so that the balance of the population would participate correctly.
I had expected somebody on the cabinet to go against what the Secretary of Health and Human Services concern was about how the population would feel, because I think America comes over this period of time hasn't been too mourning too much about all the Native Americans who died since Columbus set foot on the shore, and we're not hanging our heads over that too much, so we wouldn't miss all the African Americans. And pretty soon we would have most of Haiti in here anyway.
I was going to suggest to the vice president, and hopefully we could talk to the president about her.
And in the story, it says that the Secretary of Health and Human Services speaks something she never does. So obviously, the message is toned down.
Do we get to hear how it ends up in the?
Yes. What I'd like to do is I'd like to come on the rest of you. I need about four or five others to come up. I'll still be the black conservative because they've sort of made me now the
liberals can be way
messenger. I need about four or five liberals. Progressive liberals. Come on.
Well, I did Dan Quayle. Anybody can be a
liberal. And this is the anti-traitor coalition. This is the anti-traitor coalition.
Oh, the anti-traitor coalition. Yes.
And this includes this includes some liberals. This includes some black sort of activist progressives. This includes some Jewish rabbis in the Jewish community. Okay, so this is sort of the anti-traitor coalition. Come on, I need more people. Come on.
Can they do it again?
Yeah, they can do it again.
Can I do it again?
Yeah, come on. Now, why is it all the women are the liberals?
I know. You need one more or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, good, we got two men.
Okay.
Are we still politicians? Or?
No, we're not politicians. This is sort of the people's anti-traitor coalition. So this is sort of your stereotypic sort of, let's see, who wants to be, I'll start with the Jewish rabbi.
I'll be the rabbi.
You be the rabbi. Now remember, this is the anti-traitor coalition. So you have to figure out from your own perspective why you would not support this move. Okay, we need a liberal.
How about liberal? What?
Liberal.
Okay.
Just liberal. Okay, and we need a couple of sort of progressive. You can be the black minister. Okay.
I like it.
And we'll just be. I'll be the conservative black. I'm sort of back and forth. Though I don't want to get sent. They've offered me a deal.
So this is continuing the same. This is
the same scenario, but this is a different group of people arguing against.
We're conscious of this government.
We're conscious that the government would sell us down.
So the media campaign has started.
We're conscious that we could be. So we have to figure out what our arguments are, and then also what would be our strategies to get America to not trade all the African Americans. So it's both a strategy and a sort of argument.
And it's all coming from a liberal perspective?
From the liberal perspective.
Without a government agenda.
Not a government agenda. This is a people's agenda.
Are we just floating in a bunch
of liberals? Yeah, just liberals. Just progressives, you know, sort of against the trade.
Could I join this group?
Please do.
All right. Cool. We don't want those women.
We need all the anti-traitor support we can get.
We'll have everybody volunteers for this.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to enter the room because I'm sort of torn as a black conservative. You people have never supported me, but at this point, you know, I really think that in order to save ourselves, that we need to come up with a strategy. Or you people need to come up with a strategy that I think the government officials are going to support. And I know that you've never supported me and don't think highly of me at all, but at this point I think I understand this mindset. I've been a part of this mindset. I understand this mindset, and I think it would be to your best interest if you could figure out how to trick them into thinking that somehow African Americans are going to get something out of this trade. That we don't know why the traders are taking us, But if we could somehow trick them, because, you know, white America has always been based upon the fear that black people can't have any more than white people have. So if we sort of changed, turned that around and said, maybe African Americans are really going to the land of milk and honey, maybe there would be some concern about, wait a second, are they going to get something now that we're not going to get? And are we really not going to get the good end of the stick? So, you know, I kind of throw that out. Though I recognize that you don't trust me.
Well, this has been a real dilemma for my children, because what I've been teaching them is equality. And their friend, we live in New York City, and their friends are black and white, and this is very confusing to them. So I'm just wondering if maybe some kind of spiritual appeal, maybe from Pastor and Rabbi Greenberg, maybe if you had some ideas as to how to appeal to the public about this, so that we know how many more people are as concerned morally as we are. Do you have any ideas about that?
Well, I think historically, Jews and blacks have not been very supportive of one another in America, generally. But I feel the need to. What I see is very much what happened to the Jews in 1492, when it was decided in Spain that for the betterment of the country, they would expel all the Jews, banish them from the land. So I can really identify with the dilemma that the blacks were facing. And I want to support anything we would decide to do as a means of keeping the blacks with us. I'm just not sure how to put about that.
I think, you know, obviously the government is going to put all their money behind the media campaign, and I think we need to reach out through the churches and organizations that have a liberal point of view and fight back.
The problem is that the blacks have never got anything in this country without violence, and it's time for our groups to organize. Mm-hmm. We have to hit the streets. That's it. If you organize. Round the clock, every major city.
But do you think we really have any power to do that?
We've done it before.
But you might
reinforce. That's the only time we made changes.
That might reinforce the other point of view.
You're going to feed them, that's just more fuel for them too.
It seems to me you have a deadline, 10 days or something?
10 days left.
So you have no choice. You can't sit around and pray for this. This is not like putting a roof on a church. You just don't pray for it. This is a matter of life and possibly whatever.
Well, Sarah
got
pregnant.
So I think we hit the streets.
Mm. How do you think we could get that organized and accomplished in 10 days, though?
You do that with lots of leaders. Lots of leaders going out and marching. They have a tremendous march. You march on every major city, every major town. You march on Washington. You've got enough black people working for within the government to shut down the government.
You mean whites and blacks together marching?
Yeah, we'll take everybody that wants to come along and help us out.
Well, you know, the recent public opinion polls show that the mass of American public is in favor of this trade. So how do you think you're going to mobilize
You think they're going to change their mind in 10 days after all that history?
I think what we could do, I mean, to answer to you, we could point out to every group of, you know, race or religion or ethnic background that they could be next. And unless we get the support of every group.
We will be next. We've got a Protestant bunch of cabinet members sitting up there, all white Protestant males, basically. And one little female who never says a word. You have no chance. You have no chance. So we just have to explain to people they don't have a chance.
Well, if I was Jewish, I'd be real concerned because...
I would too.
I mean, if you get rid of all of us, you're next.
And the more of us,
America's never...
And the more of us than are Jews, and we have enough bodies to shut down the government. I don't know if the Jews do or not.
We have the money.
So together we can stop.
And I excuse that stereotype. It's probably not right, but...
Well, I still think that we don't have the power. We're powerless people. We've never had the power, really, and this is it. And you know where we've been successful, we've been pretty shifty, and we've been pretty cunning, we've been pretty sneaky, and we've really tricked America.
You know, I would kind of go against what you just said, not having power, from the point of view of those of us who spend weekends on television, watching television sports, basketball and football. If we eliminated the black community from these two major sports and many other sports, I mean, what would be the motivation to drink beer on weekends, Evan? Because there's nothing to watch on TV because the vast majority of the athletes, superb athletes, are black.
I tell you, it'll work. We go on strike this week and put the whole NBA on strike. This weekend, that's all gone. Monday morning, everybody wants to go to work. We've got every rail car shut down. All the subways be shut down.
That might be a good idea.
And Lord knows they ain't going to last very long when they're picking up their garbage.
I wonder how many white people like myself had not, when they were doing these polls. You know, sometimes I, you know, get lazy and don't go out and speak what I really think because I'm afraid of whatever, because I'm accepted as my color and things are nice that way. Now I'm very disturbed, and I'm disturbed also with myself that I have been inactive up till now, and I wonder how many other people out there are like me that have not had a voice. So I wonder if it's so true that those polls are accurate.
We're not helpless, but we're not organized.
We're not organized.
Mm. But I think they're working on this campaign that says that we as black people should be sacrificed for the good of the country. And of course, we've done that several times throughout history. But what if we had a scheme where we're telling them that for every one of us that goes, a white person is shot. You shoot one white person for every black person who goes. How's that for a nice trade? We'll do it if they shoot one white person for every black person who goes. We'll see how many of them want to sacrifice for the country.
And you don't think America will pull out the tanks? I mean, remember, we're all living. We're not talking about all
white people. We're just talking about
a few.
Equal the population of the black people.
I don't think anyone would be a winner if that. I think it would be a mess, you know. And it would be even more of a confusing message, in a way. I kind of like better that demonstrating idea with blacks and the whites and anyone we can get, because I'm not sure how many people that I've neglected to tell my point of view and that would march right along with me, you know, because I've been a leader in my community too, but maybe not strong enough.
I think the sports is a good idea. I think it reaches into every home in the country. It affects every family. It worked in South Africa probably better than sanctions or anything else to be discriminated against in sports. It can compete internationally, and I think that would wake people up faster than demonstrating out on the street.
I think our time frame might be a little short to totally have the impact we need.
Right. You only got 10 days.
10 days.
Let's
really got 5 minutes.
Yeah, let's stop here and see if there are any comments in the group out there.
I thought the strategy would be to seek allies in any other minority group so that the black African Americans don't feel like they're the one group that you ask all the other minorities, because they could be threatened too. I think only Jews and African Americans were mentioned. And then I would go to the Americans and ask them, how do we destroy all the birth certificate records in the United States? I know that the group is organized, but something to show that the group is really serious about we don't want to do that, and we're willing to do something that's to break the law, to not go, but not be not take life.
What I think this scenario in some ways probably demonstrates is we consistently use old strategies that have moved us, but not moved us over the hill. I mean, we've sort of, you know, continue to use strategies that have not solved the problem of racism in America, and we continue to use those strategies. And and I think the point I think that the author wants to make in this scenario is that the American public has to have the will to come up with new strategies that are more drastic than what we've done. And up to this point, we haven't created those strategies. The last scenario, which we won't have time to get into, was really interesting reading. It was the business community. And the business community was an anti-trader perspective. And why do you think they had an anti-trade perspective? Before I read this, I would not have thought that. Why do you think the business community would have had an anti-trade perspective?
They're going to lose half their consumers.
Exactly. That's one. Another. Any other?
They would have to do jobs that they don't want to do.
Sure.
They
would have to import cheaper labor somewhere.
What else did I use? Did I use something?
I just was thinking labor.
The resources would be provided free instead of being a sold to the people in government.
One compelling point that he makes is that if you eliminate African Americans and what you have, and again, he's assuming a African American white country, all the minorities are not necessarily factored into this. But if you do that, then you really do sort of open up the screen between the haves and the have-nots in America. And the African American population no longer is the filter, is no longer the barrier to see, really, the discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots in America. And the business community doesn't want that to be known. I mean, it's to their advantage to keep people who are at the bottom and the middle class at each other and creating stereotypes that maintain a system of racism. It's to the big business advantage to do that, because if you get rid of what looks like the problem, then all you have to contend with is now really sort of seeing the disparity between
the real
problem in this country, which really isn't the problem of the African-American community. So that's sort of the business scenario. He ends this. I'm not sure how much I agree with what he says, but he ends this basically, and Derrick Bell is a Harvard law professor that quit Harvard because they refused to hire an African-American woman on staff there. There were only two. He was the only African-American. And he basically believes that race is permanent, that racism is permanent, and that we will never do away in this country because we don't have the will to do away with racism in this country. And I was going to read his statement here that says, "Black people will never gain full equality in this country. Even those Herculean efforts we hail as successful will produce no more than temporary peaks of progress, short-lived victories that slide into irrelevance as racial patterns adapt in ways that maintain white dominance. This is a hard-to-accept fact that all history verifies. We must acknowledge it, not as a sign of submission, but as an act of ultimate defiance." And I'm still trying to come to terms with what that means, because obviously I don't want to think that racism is something that will never go away, that will be with us forever. But if you look at sort of the history of struggle and what that struggle has produced, in some ways, it has force America to think about its humanity. I mean, in a land of sort of milk and honey, if you could call America a land of milk and honey, we're losing a sense of our humanity. And it's through times of our struggling together around issues of oppression and around issues of humanity is when we discover new ways to be with each other. And it's almost as if, in some ways, he's saying that we will, as long, if we accept the fact that racism will be here forever, and he's speaking to African Americans, if we accept that, we will not just sort of, it's not a lay down and accepted kind of strategy. It is a strategy that forces us always to struggle and always not to accept that America has accepted us and that America has come to terms, America has solved the race problems, but it's always sort of a push ahead. And again, I'm not sure that I understand that. But in some ways, it feels to me that the moral humanity of America sort of develops around our struggling around what does it mean to live in a democracy? You know, what does it mean to live in a multicultural society? It's around the struggles that we have to do around understanding each other. So again, it's sort of, I'm not sure that I clearly really understand what that means, and I'm not sure if I totally accept that. But I think, you know, in terms of 1994 and beyond, it isn't too far-fetched for me to think that in the year 2010, 2020, this country will be in such bad shape that we will not want to offer up something in order to revive ourselves. And it's compelling to think, what will we offer up? Who will we offer up, and what will we offer up to save ourselves? And you know, that's sort of a hopeless, sort of a doom and gloom sort of perspective, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think we can all see sort of the growing decay of America here and around the world, and we have to sort of figure out how do we embrace that and understand that and not let that be our future.
I've read some stuff recently that we look to the Japanese as being so competent and capable and able to do things. And one of the reasons is because of their unity of race, if you will. And some other cultures have done the same thing. I don't think we realize the power that we have as a society that is as diverse as our society is. And that comes up, I mean, we prove that to ourselves time and time again, and yet we fear diversity, in a sense. And we look to others for a way to be that don't have that diverse society. And it seems to me that we're going to achieve a belief in each other when we begin to understand that very diversity is what's made us strong. And there are very few pure Norwegians or Irishmen or Germans or blacks in this room. I suspect none. And I think the cultural mix that this brings, and the various backgrounds and the approaches to problem solving, while it leads to some confusion at times, also tends to allow us to do things that can't be done by anybody else in this world. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but I think we have a power that is just unbelievable. And we're beginning to realize it, and I hope we'll realize it in time and just keep really messing things up.
I think I was talking to my brother kind of on this vein recently, and he's been a whole lot more of a student of history and politics than I have, but we were commenting one evening for an hour or two about the problems with America, which have certainly surfaced in our discussions here tonight. And he said, Paul, but he says, you know, there's something very hopeful in my mind, because with all of our difficulties, how come the Asians are clamoring to come here, the Cubans are clamoring to come here, the Haitians are clamoring to come here? There must be something we're doing good in this country. And I totally believe that. I mean, it doesn't make the press, it doesn't make the media, in any large doses. But Holden Village is a classic example. There's something good happening in Holden Village. There's something good happening in the tens of thousands of small group meetings, whether they're 12-step programs in which people are trying to get their own lives in order, and from that...